would be a good place to start. Verse 15. Welcome to our new series. That's always fun. Someone could, let's make a good, you get the lights for us, please, brother? Thank you. So in this series, we are going to be trying to cover things that we face on a practical level in our Christian walk and how we should deal with them from a scriptural point of view. And tried to cover it as much as I can with as many scriptures as possible that are in the Word of God so that we get the whole picture. But we're doing it as a picture, as you'll see. Each one is going to look like this, where it's what to do when, and then it's non-biblical choices and biblical choices. And we'll talk about each one from a scriptural point of view. And what's sad is we usually go the non-biblical route first and then have to get it sorted later. But we're calling it Practical Christian Living Flow Charts. And we're, at this point, we're going to cover these eight things. But if you can come up with others, just sing out along the way and we'll add them. Okay? But at this point, we're going to cover these eight things. What to do when you're hurt, when you're tempted, when you sin, when you suffer, when you're attacked, when you're anxious, when you're discouraged, or when you're convicted. What to do in those situations. Right off the bat, anybody think of anything that should be added there? What to do when? Anyway, if you think of something, shoot up your hand, sing out, and we'll add it for the future. We'll even add it to this fancy chart, or Roy will anyway. And I want to give Roy a big shout out for putting all this together, because it started off as just me drawing it out on a big piece of paper, old school, and then he turned it into something that you guys can enjoy. So we're going to start today with number one, what to do when you're tempted. That's a good place to start, isn't it? Since it's something we all face on a daily basis, is we are tempted to sin. And we will next week cover what to do when you sin. So that's a separate thing. As you can see here, see sin chart. So rather than cover that today, that'll be next week, what to do when we sin. But today, what to do when we are tempted. So we'll read some scripture and then we'll walk through this together. Mr. Scott, could you read 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17?
Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
Amen. So that's just to give us those three categories of sin. Because remember, the devil's the god of this world. Those are the same three categories of sin that Satan used to tempt Eve, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Same three categories of sin that the devil used to tempt Jesus Christ after his 40 days of fasting in the desert, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. And so those are the same categories of sin, if you will, that the devils and the flesh and the world are going to use to tempt us. So I just wanted to get that out there before we dived in. So we're going to pray, then we'll carefully and very slowly walk through this together. Lord, I pray for your wisdom, your presence, and the power of your word to speak to our hearts as we contemplate these practical things that we face as your children. Lord, I pray that as we learn, that we would not just assent in our minds that things are true, that we would realize that we also need to assent in our behavior and put these things into practice in our daily lives. So, Lord, may you be glorified and guide us and meet with us now. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. All right, so what to do when you are tempted? Now, in all of these things, we're going to go negative first and then finish with positive. That's okay. So we'll start with what not to do, because that's what we usually do, isn't it? So when we are tempted, we have three non-biblical choices and four biblical choices. So we'll talk about the non-biblical choices. When we are tempted, we succumb. That means we give in to the temptation, or we rationalize why it's not that bad, and then we succumb. Or we believe we're tough enough to handle it, and of course we end up succumbing because we're not tough enough to handle it. And that, of course, leads to guilt because we've now sinned against our holy God. And then we have to deal with the fact that we've sinned, and that'll be next week, what to do when you sin. So let's talk a bit about this. When we are tempted, at that moment we have a decision to make, don't we? What am I going to do? Now, I know we don't go through this whole elaborate process outwardly, but we do subconsciously, don't we? We do subconsciously make decisions at that point, and often our decision is to give in to the temptation or to first rationalize and make statements, silly statements like, I'm not talking out loud, but in our minds, I'm forgiven anyway. Now, I'm sure that everyone in this room, the devil's used that one on you, right? And that's one of the biggest arguments of the Christian community against eternal security, is that they say it gives us a license to sin, right? We don't believe that eternal security gives us a license to sin, but we do all acknowledge that we are forgiven and all of our sins are forgiven. And so the devil can try to use that against us. And I'm sure if I asked for a show of hands, everyone would say, yeah, the devil's used that against me before. I'm forgiven anyway. And the other one is, I just can't help it. It's just the way I am. It's the way I was brought up. It's my weakness. Do we have weaknesses? Yes? Anybody here with no weaknesses, raise your hand. Just checking. I saw you almost put your hand up there, Jordan. Be careful. I'm kidding. Your wife would say, nah. Anyway, can't help it. So do we have weaknesses? Yes, let's look at Hebrews chapter 12. God talks about a besetting sin, the sin which does so easily beset us, and about a way. So, Howard, if you could read Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 for us.
Therefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
The sin which doth so easily beset us. Does the devil know what that is for us? Unfortunately, he does. Is there anyone in this room that's ever committed the same sin more than once? Silly question, right? This is what the devil does. He tempts with that besetting sin. And then when we fail, we have to go through that whole process, which we talked about, of dealing with this fact that we sinned. But then he comes and tempts us and we do it again. And for a lot of Christians, especially Christians who don't believe in eternal security, this is what leads them to actually believe they finally lost their salvation, because they just can't seem to get victory over that besetting sin. And that's a whole other discussion, which we'll get to later. But that I can't help it, that's called rationalization, and it is sin. You can help it. You can avoid the temptation, which we're going to talk about soon. But the devil uses that against us and makes us believe subconsciously, there's just nothing I can do about it. This is just my problem, it's my weakness, and no matter what I try, I keep failing in this particular area. And so we succumb. And then another thing that sometimes Christians do is they think, well, you know, I'm that spiritual now, that I can handle this. And so they allow themselves into situations, and let's go to Romans 13, 14 if we could. They allow themselves into situations where their temptation, they know they're going to face it. But they go into those situations knowing in advance they're going to face it, but believing that they've gotten to that point in their Christianity where they're that strong that it's not a problem anymore. So, Brent, if you could read that for us.
But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof.
You see where God says, make not provision? What do you think he's telling us there? Make not provision. Anybody? Let's make sure we understand that phrase. Make not provision for the flesh. Edipia?
Maybe not to make an excuse.
Good. That would be one aspect of it. Don't make an excuse. Someone else? Make not provision. Just wave your hand if I don't see it. Yes, Marguerite? Okay, so avoid it, right?
Yes.
Anybody else? Make not provision. Is there an aspect in that phrase about planning ahead? In other words, don't plan ahead to avoid the situations where you know you will be tempted. Mm-hmm. It's like someone who has struggled with alcohol their whole lives, they finally conquered it. They're a Christian now, and they say, well, now that I'm a Christian, I'm tough. I can handle this. So they say, I'm going to go down and hang out with all my mates at the pub. I'm not going to drink. I just want to hang out with my mates. But I'm tough now. I'm not going to be tempted by the alcohol. That's just dumb. You don't put yourself in a situation on purpose where you know you're going to be tempted. And we're going to talk about that later. One of the options is Joseph's option, amen, to flee. And we'll get there, but Joseph, when he was tempted by Potiphar's wife, yeah, he loved God, and God had blessed him, and he was right with God, but he didn't stand there and say, well, I can handle this. No, he knew, I'm a man, and I'm weak, and I'm out of here. And he fled. I paid the price, of course, for it, didn't he? But he said, I got to run from this. And that's definitely, a lot of times, the right choice is to flee. But it's not to say, I'm tough. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 10:12. Philip, if you read that for us. In other words, never get to that point where you believe that you're beyond succumbing to temptation. Always take the position that you are a sinner, that you are weak, and that without God's help, you cannot face it. Best to avoid it whenever possible. Philip? In other words, never think that you've made it, that you're standing, that you've conquered it. Never come to that. That's just pride. And the devil wants you there because now he's got you right where he wants you, because once pride kicks in, now the devil's in control. So always take the position, I can't handle it, I will avoid it at all costs, and if it does come into my life, I need God's help. And without God's help, I will succumb. If you do succumb, that's next week's chart. What to do once you've sinned, once you have failed, what do you do next? But that's the non-biblical approach to temptation. Is obviously to sin. And sometimes we get there directly, we just sin, or we first rationalize it and then we sin, or we say, I'm tough enough, and then we sin. But either way, the end result is the same. So before we dive into the biblical choices, please, thoughts or questions about the non-biblical choices when we sin. Go ahead. Anybody? Yes, sweetie.
I think another way to rationalize is it's easier to ask forgiveness than permission.
Yes, a lot of people You know, that we wear that out with us sometimes, don't we, when it talks about interactions with each other. But the devil uses that against us. I'm forgiven anyway. So it's okay, yeah, I'm gonna sin and I'm gonna feel bad about it, but I can just go to God and get it forgiven. The thing is, God, if that's truly what's going on in your heart, do you think God knows this? And so God's going to have to deal with that too, that attitude. Not just the sin, but the attitude that led to the sin. Anybody else? So, don't go this way, amen, when we are tempted.
But, have faith in God.
Absolutely. So any other thoughts or questions before we dive into what we should do when we're tempted? Nobody? So the key, obviously, as it says up there, is we should be walking in the Spirit. Amen? Because God says, let's go to Galatians 5:16. Roy, if you'd read that. God says that if we are walking in the Spirit... God said it, amen. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. If we are walking in the Spirit, then that means the Spirit is in control, and the Spirit is there helping us. Amen. Now, God's made some beautiful promises about temptations. Let's look at a couple of them. 2 Peter 2:9. Mr. Zeus, if you could read that for us. 2 Peter 2:9. These are God's promises to us as His children about when we are tempted.
The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished.
You see that word deliver? Isn't that a beautiful word? In other words, don't question whether God is able to deliver you. Now, the devil will try to make you question that. But it says, He knoweth how to deliver. Amen? He's God. He's Almighty God. He knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. So God already knows how to do this. And then this second promise, 1 Corinthians 10:13. Let's look at that. Nathan, if you could read that for us. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Another beautiful promise from God about temptation.
There is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. Will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it.
Amen. Escape. You see that word escape? I put that word up here. I put two words, escape and endure. So God says that He knoweth how to deliver and that we always have a way of escape. And as we'll see, He promises blessings upon us when we endure. God never said we would not be tempted. But He did say that He would bless us if we would endure the temptation. So now let's talk about the four things that we should do when we are tempted. They're all scriptural choices, and they're listed there. Rejoice, pray, quote scripture, and flee. So let's start with rejoice. Is this what we usually do when temptation comes our way? Is to rejoice? No. That's because we have a wrong perspective on the temptation, on the fact that we're facing the temptation. So, Mr. Scott, if you could read for us 1 Peter 1:6.
Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations.
How many temptations? Manifold. That's a lot of temptations. God says, you greatly rejoice. Why should we rejoice when we're tempted? Well, because it's God's will. It's not a surprise to God that we face this temptation. It didn't catch God off guard. God already knew about it, and God, listen carefully, allowed it. God allowed this temptation into your life. To test you? Yes. To refine you and strengthen you? Yes. But he allowed it. And if we keep that perspective, then we can rejoice and say, thank you, Lord. Let's look at another one, James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. Howard, if you could read that for us.
My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing.
Count it all joy when you what? Fall into diverse temptations. That means diverse. Means varied, lots of them. There's definitely plenty of them out there, aren't there? God says, count it joy. God says you greatly rejoice. And so the first biblical choice that we should make when temptation comes our way is to acknowledge that God knows about it and that God allowed it. And therefore, thank you, Lord. That's a pretty different perspective than woe is me, I have to face this temptation, isn't it? Same temptation, same God, same child of God. It's all about perspective. And if we won't keep that perspective that God allowed this and God has a purpose in it for me, then we can say thank you. We can rejoice. Now, of course, any questions about that before we move on to pray? So one choice is to rejoice when we are tempted. Nobody? Now, of course, Jesus, when he came back and found his disciples sleeping right before he was taken by the soldiers in Matthew 26:41, let's see what he told them. Brent, if you could read that for us.
Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Now, there is the model prayer, Matthew 6. Does it say anything about temptation? It does, doesn't it? In other words, it is scriptural to be constantly begging God to help you through the temptations. It's not okay to say to God, Lord, I pray that from this day forward I never get tempted again. Because he's not going to answer that prayer. Because he's already decided that you need the temptations to help you grow in your faith. So he's not going to give you a temptation-free Christian life. It'd be awesome, but it's not what's going to happen. So that's not something that we're to pray for. But back to the model prayer here in Matthew 6. What does he say about temptation? Lead us not into it and deliver us from evil. Deliver us. So let's go to Hebrews 4:15. God says it's okay to pray for his help when we are tempted. Roy. You see that word tempted? Did you ever stop and think, why did Jesus have to go through that? I mean, we understand why he had to die on the cross to pay for our sins, but why did he have to go out into the desert, fast for 40 days, and then get tempted by the devil? What was that about? Well, that was a big part of it right there. He is now a high priest who understands us. We can't come to him and say, oh, Lord, I'm facing this temptation and I'm not sure you understand. He does. Because it says, in all points. In other words, any temptation that we can ever face and have ever faced, Jesus faced it. Now, he didn't succumb, but he faced it. And now he is a high priest who understands us. Amen? He understands when we are tempted. Therefore, what are we told in the next verse? Therefore, come boldly into the throne of grace. Amen? Pray. And so it's very scriptural when we are tempted, of course. And I know it almost sounds too obvious to say, Lord, help. Amen? Help. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. To say, Lord, help me right now. I am being tempted. It's very difficult for me. I need your help. Do you think God hears those prayers? Of course he does. And so that is our second biblical response to temptation. The first is to rejoice, which we typically don't do. But by rejoicing, we are acknowledging that God makes no mistakes and that God chose to allow this temptation in our lives. By praying, we're acknowledging that we can't do it without his help. That's the walking in the Spirit part. And then, the quoting Scripture, now we're going on the offensive. Amen? Prayer is more defense. Quoting Scripture is more offense. And is it scriptural to quote Scripture when we are tempted? Yes or no? What do you think? Back to Jesus in the desert. Let's go there. Matthew chapter 4. Let's see what Jesus did when he was tempted. He was tempted how many times? Three. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Jesus did not debate or argue or get into a fist fight with the devil, because the devil would have lost, of course. He only did one thing. And, you know, we can just look at one example, but his response was the same every time. And that was to say, verse 4, what are those first three words? It is written. He did that all three times that he was tempted. It is written. We often talk about the Word of God being powerful. My friend, it's more powerful than we'll ever understand. And we have to understand that it is a sword. Amen? Ephesians 6, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. When we read about Jesus coming back, it says that out of his mouth goeth a two-edged sword, that with it he should smite the nations. I don't think that's a literal sword. I think that's his word. Just the word of Jesus was powerful enough to make the universe. It's definitely powerful enough to smite the nations. And the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, has the power to make the devil do what he did with Jesus, and that is leave. Amen? James 4, let's turn there, verses 7 and 8. Mr. Zeus, if you could read those for us. We are commanded to do something with the devil when he comes after us.
Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your heart, ye double-minded.
Amen. Resist the devil. That's a command. So when the temptation comes, we should absolutely pray for God's help. We should absolutely rejoice because we know that God allowed it and has a plan for it, and he's going to use it in our lives if we don't succumb. But we also then need to go on the offense and do what Jesus did and use the powerful sword of the Word of God to resist the devil. Again, brings us back to the amazing importance, and we're going to talk about it tonight in Deuteronomy chapter 6, of Bible memorization. Can't overstress how important it is that we just keep hiding the Word of God in our hearts. What does it say there in Psalm 119:11? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I what? Might not sin. That I might not succumb to temptation. That I might not sin against thee, against God. And so, the more that we have in here, the bigger of an arsenal the Holy Spirit has to draw upon when we are tempted. Amen? So keep memorizing Scripture. It amazes me how many Christians choose not to. And I don't understand it. Maybe their ways are higher than God's ways. I don't know. But God's ways are higher than our ways, and He's commanded us to hide the Scriptures in our hearts. And this is one of the reasons, because that is how we fight back. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Show me in the Scriptures any other way to resist the devil other than how Jesus chose to in the desert when he was tempted, which is our topic, is temptation. So rejoice, pray, quote Scripture, and then I put that, which we talked about already, flee. What that means is if you can get away from it, then put on your running shoes and get away from it. Amen? Don't stand there and say, yeah, I can do this. No, do like Joseph did. He didn't say, I'm Joseph. No, he said, I'm out of here. When Potiphar's wife tempted him, the Bible says she was a very beautiful woman. They probably knew each other quite well because he was the keeper of the house, if you will. He was second in command in all of Egypt. And when she tempted him, he took off. But does the Bible say anything about fleeing? Let's look at it. 1 Corinthians 6:18. Nathan, if you could read that for us.
Every fornication, every sin that a man doeth is without the body, he that cometh of fornication sinneth against his own body.
Flee it, God says. Run. Amen? Run away. Know that you're weak. And if you can get out, then get out. Flee. And we talked about this Romans verse already. Make not provision for the flesh. In other words, don't intentionally put yourself in situations where you know that your weakness is going to be manipulated by the devil. Stay away from those things. Don't make provision for the flesh. And so those are our four biblical responses. We have our three non-biblical responses. If we choose the biblical route, what will happen is we will escape and endure. And if we escape and endure, look what God promises. James chapter 1, verse 12. Mr. Scott, read that for us as our final verse.
Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him.
It doesn't say blessed is the man that gives in to temptation, does it? Or blessed is the man that succumbs to temptation. No, it's blessed is the man that what? Endureth. Amen? Because we already read verses 2 to 4 in the same chapter, which says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. But none of that applies if we give in. But if we resist it, if we endure it, if we escape it, remember God says there's always a way of escape, as we saw in 1 Corinthians 10:13. God promises blessing. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. He even promises a crown. And so this is one of our simpler ones, but number one in our series, what to do when we're tempted. Thoughts or questions? Brother Brent.
You said, one jab and a hook and whatever it was the word of God.
That's right. He used the sword, amen? But you can't physically fight the devil, can you? Because you can't even see him. You can only spiritually fight the devil. And this is the sword of the Spirit, amen? Any other thoughts or questions? So next week we look at what to do when we sin. Let's say we did give in. We wished we hadn't, but we did. We've sinned. We have failed God. What now? What do we do when we sin? And there's non-biblical responses and biblical responses once we've sinned. And we'll look at those next week. Any other thoughts or questions? But today, what to do when you are tempted? Nobody? Yes, Barbara. So true. We cannot trust our own wisdom. We cannot trust our heart. Cannot trust our feelings. We can trust God, though. Amen.